Over the years, I have learned that if I don't keep my microphone switched on during the first few lines of the Nicene Creed, setting the tone and the pace, then the congregation will just race right through it. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen, yada, yada, yada. Can we wrap this up already? I've got a Packers game to watch and some sinning to do. For so many of us, the creed has become nothing more than background noise, something to keep our bodies occupied while our brains ponder the inconsequential questions of life. Questions like, where should I go for brunch today? And if God is both loving and all-knowing, then why, oh why, has he allowed mullets to make a comeback? But there is one line in particular in that creed of ours that I believe very deeply, that if we all took it to heart and did everything that we could to grapple with it, that one line would change everything for us. Not only would we discover more inner peace, not only would we feel closer to God, but in learning how to interpret this one line, we would learn how to better interpret life itself, reality itself. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, and here's the line, in accordance with the scriptures. Did you happen to notice just how important this one line is for the Apostle Paul this morning? To him, this line of the creed is of first importance for our faith, his words. So important that he actually repeats the line twice in his letter to the Corinthians. For I handed on to you, as of first importance, what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. This literally is Paul's definition of tradition. This teaching was the tradition that he had received, and it was the thing that he paradoked, that he traditioned to others. This was the tradition of Paul and the apostles and the early church. But is it our tradition? Do we understand this line of the creed in the same way that Paul did, in the same way that the earliest Christians traditioned it? Or have we broken their tradition? Do we define according to the scriptures in the same way they did? Now here's the thing. If you didn't flunk out of Sunday school growing up, or get yourself kicked out of Bible camp, and if you've been in the church game for a while now, then you already know a very basic theme that runs all throughout the Gospels. It's that no one, literally no one, religious teachers or priests or even Jesus' closest followers, ever saw Jesus' death and resurrection coming. Suffering and dying, yeah, that sort of thing wasn't exactly in the job description for a Messiah at that time. One man dying and rising smack dab in the middle of history, that didn't align itself with anybody's understanding of the scriptures at that time. Yes, some Jewish people did believe that everybody would be resurrected at the very end of history. But there were also many Jewish people who didn't believe in the concept of resurrection at all. So it begs the question, how is it that St. Paul and the ancient Christians could make the claim that Jesus' death and resurrection was in accordance with the Old Testament scriptures? Like, what did they know that everyone else around them didn't know? Or another way of asking it, what suddenly changed for them? What suddenly enabled them to see Christ's death and resurrection all over the scriptures when they had been blind to his death and his resurrection in the scriptures before this? In a super duper ancient Easter sermon that dates all the way back to somewhere around 150 AD-ish, Melito of Sardis says something that's incredibly profound. In fact, it is so profound that the first time I read it, it pretty much just shattered my whole concept of who Christ is. I mean, I thought I knew Christ before. I had accepted him as my personal Lord and Savior into my heart whenever I was 16. But after reading Melito's words, I realized that my understanding of Jesus was far, far too small, even after all those years that I had been following him. But now, my friends, now I can see Christ's death and resurrection, not just all over the scriptures, but I can see his death and his resurrection all over everything. My friends, I can tell you from firsthand experience that if you let the words that I'm about to share with you take hold of you, if you pull them into the depths of you, you will never see the cross and you will never see the empty tomb in the same way ever again. You will never see Jesus in the same way ever again. You will never see life itself in the same way ever again. A reading from Melito of Sardis's On Pascha. The Lord revealed his own suffering in the patriarchs and in the prophets and in the whole people. Thus, if you wish to see the mystery of the Lord, look at Abel, who is likewise slain, at Isaac, who is likewise tied up, at Joseph, who is likewise traded, at Moses, who is likewise abandoned, at David, who is likewise hunted down, at the prophets, who likewise suffer for the sake of Christ, and look at the Passover lamb, slaughtered in the land of Egypt. Here ends the reading. My friends, wherever suffering exists, wherever death takes place, the cross of Christ is there in the center of it. Through the cross, Jesus entered into all suffering, all death. On the cross, Jesus entered into your suffering, your death. The suffering of the whole people is the suffering that crucified Jesus, for his cross transcends all time and space. On the cross, Jesus entered into every single tear that has ever been shed, every single ounce of pain that we have ever felt. He descended into every hellish situation that has ever threatened to swallow us whole. As Abel was being slain, as Isaac was being bound, as Joseph was being sold into slavery, as Moses was being abandoned, as David was being hunted down, Christ was right there with them, in the thick of it, shouldering that agony with them on the cross. These were not separate events in history, but one event. Just like how a string threads itself through the beads of a necklace, turning multiple objects into one thing, so too Jesus' death threads itself through all suffering, making all suffering one thing, his thing. The affliction that pierces us through, that is the nails that pierce Jesus' hands and feet through. Every time you have felt broken by this life, that is the thing that broke Christ on the cross. It's not that Christ travels through time to be with you in your suffering and in your death. No, no. Christ doesn't travel through time. It's time that travels through Christ. Your whole life, your entire life, has passed through his cross, just as the Hebrew people passed through the Red Sea. But what about Jesus' resurrection? In what way is his resurrection in accordance with the scriptures? My friends, what was the mystery that we all beheld last night, causing our hearts to burn with paschal joy during the great vigil of Easter? What was the sacred chant that echoed off the walls of the sanctuary last night? This is the night when you, O God, brought our fathers, the children of Israel, out of bondage in Egypt and led them through the Red Sea on dry land. Last night we proclaimed that the empty tomb was the thing that liberated the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt. The body of the resurrected Christ was the pillar of fire that led them through the Red Sea on dry land. If this is true of the Exodus, it is also true everywhere else. If on the cross Jesus was with Abel in his death, and Isaac in his tethers, and Joseph in his brokenness, and Moses in his abandonment, and David in his suffering, and the Hebrew people in their slavery, then it means that it was the empty tomb. It was the resurrected Christ who liberated Abel's soul from Hades and stilled Abraham's hand from sacrificing his son Isaac. And it was the resurrected Christ who opened Joseph's heart to forgiveness of his brothers. And it was the resurrected Christ who saved the infant Moses' life by water. And it was the resurrected Christ who vanquished David's enemies. And it was the resurrected Christ who liberated the Israelites from their slavery. My friends, once you start to see Jesus' resurrection anywhere, you start to see his resurrection everywhere. Every single moment of your life, where you almost died, where you almost gave up, where you almost ended it, where things could have taken a turn for the worst but didn't, it was the resurrected Christ rolling away the stone from your tomb. Every single moment of your life where you chose forgiveness over condemnation, love over hate, freedom over addiction, it was the resurrected Christ proclaiming to your demons outside of your empty tomb, "So sorry, they aren't here anymore." Every single moment where you trampled your vices underfoot, where joy won the day and your shackles fell to the ground, it was the resurrected Christ freeing you from the bondage of sin and death and crying out to you, "I am risen, and so are you. Now leave that damn tomb behind for good and follow me." Alleluia. Christ is risen.